Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in His house tonight.
Amen.
It's good to know Him in the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
He's still alive and He's still with us. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I guess we're going to do this today. I've avoided it for a while, but we're doing it today by the help of the Lord. If you've got your Bibles tonight, let's open up to Jeremiah chapter 10. Oh, it'll make sense. You don't have to act all confused. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read a few verses here and then I'll quote another one and we'll get into the Word tonight. Jeremiah 10. Hear ye the word of the Lord, or hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And then 1 John 5:21 says this, little children, it's really short, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Like to preach tonight, paganism versus idolatry. We'll make sense of this tonight. Paganism versus idolatry. Let's bow our heads together before Him. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord as we approach His Word? God bless you, saints. He sees your hearts. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering of the saints tonight. Thank you for the revelation in our souls to know that, Lord, we're not just coming to a building. We're not just coming to a social gathering. But, Lord, we're fulfilling what you told us to do. You commanded us to come together the more as we see you're coming. Lord, to love one another and to gather in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, and we count it a privilege to do that again tonight. To come to your house expecting to hear from God. Expecting to know that you're still here amongst us. You know what's in our hearts. You know what's in our lives. And we know that you know what to tell us today. I pray, Father, that you'll take control of my voice and control of this service, of every soul that here. May every chain of the devil be broken, Lord, and may your word have preeminence in our hearts. Take the preeminence of the service, we pray, as we surrender ourselves to you now. Heal every sickness, break every chain of the devil, Lord, and refresh each Christian here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, I've made comments here and there. I've kind of thrown out things with this time of year, but I finally feel pressed to go ahead and preach on this tonight. This is going to not necessarily be exactly Christmas service, but pretty close. So here we go tonight. I've tried to avoid it. I don't like to. Oh, I was wondering, my son started walking this way. I was about to. If I'm preaching, that's all right. You know, if he's going to walk up here, we're going to take care of that one. But I feel like it's a pressing thing. You know, it's one of those, and you just got to wait for the time and season. The Lord knows when to do things. He knows how to do things, and I trust Him anymore. I'm glad I'm learning. I'm not going to lie. There's times I don't trust Him. Y'all pray for the pastor, because, you know, I sometimes try to trust myself, and it just doesn't work right. So I've kind of held off on this issue. It seems to be one of those, what's the word for that, taboo things everybody gets all whatever about, and we all got to shake and quiver when we talk about Christmas. But you know what? I've learned I don't need to take camps if I just stay on the Word.
Right.
You don't have to pick sides, because I'm on a side, the Word. And as long as I know I'm on the Word, I'm okay with that. It's time for us to quit doing this with quotes that we think aren't quite exactly what, well, maybe, yeah, but I know we said that, but I don't, see, that needs to go away. Because that shows that there's something wrong in your foundation somewhere if that's how you approach what God has brought us in this day. If you approach these scriptures that I just read and you say, well, I just don't know about that. Well, I'm sorry, brother, sister, the Word has become the absolute. And I'm not, I'll just say it. I believe this message is our absolute.
Amen.
A lot of people don't like that, but sorry. That's the truth that I believe God brought to us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, paganism and idolatry, the reason I want to go into it, just to show you, there is a little bit of difference here, and I think it pays us to study into this a little bit. First, Brother Branham says this, coming out of A Greater Than Solomon Is Here, 1962. He says this, Now see, pagan worship is to prostrate yourselves before the idol, the imaginary God, and believe that the imaginary God is talking to you. Christianity is vice versa. God takes a living man that prostrates himself before him and speaks his own words through the living man, not through an idol. Just turns it right around from pagan worship, idol worship, to Christian worship. So let's make sure we understand something. The way of the heathen is the opposite of what Christians are supposed to be. That's right. We ain't supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. We're not supposed to take the customs of the world. The commandment to Israel when they went into the land was, don't do nothing that they're doing. You do what I say. That's right. All right, I'm just going to warn you before I get started. If you love Christmas, you're going to be mad. And I'm going to tell you this. If you hate Christmas, you're going to be mad. I'm just going to offend the whole room. Is that all right? Bring it on. That's right. Because I put it on my Facebook. I'll say it again. You know, this is my revelation of really where most people are at. I think some people need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus a little bit more than they have with Christmas. And I think some people need to learn to hate sin a little bit more than they hate Christmas. That's right. I see them both. Man, I've seen people that, whoo, baby, you better not even have a light nowhere. By golly, they still got a TV in the closet somewhere. Still watching football and everything else and basketball and missing church for it and all this stuff when the prophet slammed on those things just the same. See, you can get a legalistic spirit. I trust you know I'm not a legalist tonight. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. The first thing, I ain't no pagan. That's for sure. I don't believe Christians are to be pagan. We ain't supposed to take on their customs of the world and things, the rat race of life that they've created in this end time. Look, brother, sister, it's easy to drop into, but I hate to break it to you. God didn't call us to that. He called us out of that to live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's time to quit making excuses and recognize that the power of God is greater than what this world has. Amen. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how much pressure there is from the world. You can still be a Christian because Christ never changes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you'll have somebody come up and say, well, I'm going to read you some definitions and things here. Well, brother, you know, I mean, even the calendar's pagan. You know, it's the Roman calendar. That's not even Christian. So we're supposed to not tell time the same way? You know, and they'll go on and on about these things. And, you know, you break it down, you'll find roots in paganism and things. Well, brother, sister, look, there's a line somewhere. All right? You can't just say, well, everything's pagan. I guess it's whatever. You do whatever you want. And that's kind of what people start running off with. Well, you can't really call this pagan because if we say that's pagan, then this is pagan, so everything's pagan. So in turn, nothing's pagan.
Right?
If we're all unique, well, guess what? Ain't none of us unique. If everybody's got $1,000, in reality, we don't have nothing. That's right. That's why somebody's got to lose so somebody can gain. That's how economy runs, that's, at least in this world. I can't wait for the one to come. But I looked up paganism, and obviously paganism means the state of being pagan. But what's it talk about in that? So let me look into this a little bit more. It says a religion that has many gods and goddesses, considers the earth holy, and does not have a central authority. That's a key part there. Does not have a central authority, which means it's whatever you feel is right is right.
Yeah.
Our whole nation's pagan.
Yeah.
That's the doctrine of this United States. If you feel it's right, that's good. That's fine. That's whole. As long as nobody else gets on your turf, then it's good.
Sure.
Don't tell me I'm wrong because I'm homosexual. Yeah. Don't tell me I'm wrong because I'm Democrat or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Or Republican or whatever, but there's no central authority, there's no guidance, there's no absolute to paganism. There isn't. That's why it constantly has changed over the years. Because it's based on what I'm about to read here. He talks about another definition of pagan. It's heathen, follower of polytheistic religion like in Rome. He says, one who has little or no religion and who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods. And irreligious, or I can't even say that word, but an irreligious person, idolatry, the worship of a physical object as a god, in moderate attachment or devotion to something. So look, I hate to break it to all them words, at least here in the United States, point to a certain holiday we do every year. They really do. The love of material, the love of the world, the love of wanting things here and having no authority. We do whatever we want. The day after we're thankful, by golly, we're going to go get more.
Come on.
And it's corrupted it. That's right. I'm starting on one side, we'll come the other, and we'll end up in the middle somewhere. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I'm going to start real quick here and let you know, Brother Branham didn't have a whole lot of good to say about Christmas. And too many of us are getting to where we don't want to read these no more. I've even met ministers who almost laugh about it now. And it's like, you do know that Brother Branham still did say that, right? Well, that doesn't really mean that. That's what he said it meant.
That's right.
And we'll balance it out. I know. See, some of y'all just got to get to the end already. Well, let me build there one time. Can I have one service where we build up to something?
Okay.
Usually it's just...
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, I got a few here I want to read. So listen up tonight. The Cruelty of Sin, 1953. This one's in April because he's speaking, it's around Easter time. That's why I kind of recognize too. There's a pattern here with all these quotes. All the ones about Christmas, guess when they are? Around Christmas. I wonder why he did that. Okay, because sometimes we need refreshers. He said it year after year. We need to remember that we're not supposed to learn the way of the heathen. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be separate. And I hate to break it to you, you're going to stick out.
Yeah.
You're going to feel funny.
Yeah.
They're going to look at you, and the Bible tells us that you don't run after the same riotous living that they do. You don't have these goals that, you know, I'm just living, run, do, so I can establish my retirement here. You're like, I ain't even worried about that. I'm having a hard time keeping my retirement straight, even though the Lord might tarry. I understand that. I want to, but at the same time, I'm like, man, Lord, how's this even going to last? I'm teaching this next generation, all right? I don't know how it can last. I'm serious. I wish I was kidding. I really do. But it's just, where's it going to come from? Where's the leadership going to come from? Where's the home life? Where's any stability anywhere in our whole nation, our whole way of living? Why? Because they've taken on themselves the way of the heathen. The survival of the fittest. If it feels good, do it. And it destroys yourself, because behind that is a man that don't love you. Behind that's the devil. That's right. He's trying to kill you. That's right. Brother Brent, okay, let me read now. I guess I didn't even read that. He says, my, how I can't understand why a rabbit has anything to do with the resurrection. See? No, sir. Or how a Christmas tree has anything to do with the birth of Christ. It's pagan, friends. We got off the path somewhere. That's right. But now a real born again man or woman realizes, because there's a life within you that tells you that's wrong.
Yeah.
There it is. Get offended, but that's what he said. Divine Healing, 1954. Now, Christmas is not a Protestant holiday. It's a Catholic holiday. And it's spelled, it's C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S, a Mass for Christ. It's the Christ Mass. We only have one Protestant holiday in America. Mr. Roosevelt changed that for us. That's Thanksgiving. The rest of them are all Catholic days, every one of them. Listen to this. I'm just trying to build you up stronger and stronger and stronger. First, he was saying that the Christmas tree ain't got nothing to do with Christ. And he says a born-again Christian is telling you there's something wrong with that picture somewhere, that in every house there ain't a cross, but there's a tree.
Yeah.
Every house there's a picture of Santa Claus, but there ain't no Jesus to be found.
Right.
Hallelujah. There's every magazine with all the things we're going to buy and we're going to look through, but there ain't a Bible or a message nowhere in the house.
Yeah.
And if they are, they're in a shelf collecting dust somewhere just so we can feel religious when our pastor comes over. Or spiritual brother so-and-so, and we push things away and we put it out in front of it, you know. Spiritual again. One day, the church is going to get a revelation that God's your judge. God, like for real. The one that knows what's behind there. The one who knows what you spend your time on. There ain't no point in lying. There ain't no point in putting up a nice farce. Just be what you are. And if you're wrong, repent. Case closed. That's right. That's too easy. Praise God. I like easy. Listen to this. Christianity versus idolatry. You know where you got Christmas? Christ was born in April. What did they do? The solar system is slowing up now as it gets away. Each day is getting, he says, a little longer. You mean a little shorter and a little shorter. From the 20th day to the 25th is when the sun god had its birthday. And I think most of us know this, but that's all right. I'm going to read it anyways. There's about 5 days there. That's when they had the Roman circus in that time, the celebration of the sun god's birthday at that time. And now you see what you got now? They said make it the sun god, they take it the son of God. And the whole thing is pagan to begin with. And the people on the streets with their high heel shoes and they're twisting up and down the streets, running into stores. And here the other day, my wife was telling me, someone said, I won't know what to get daddy. Said, brother's got him a quart of whiskey. And the other one said, he's going to get him some champagne. I said, well, I'm going to get him a poker set. Celebration of Christian, pagan, devil worship. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hallelujah. So not only does it say if you're born again, you'll know there's something wrong with the way the world does Christmas. Then it says it's not even Protestant at all. It's not even Luther. You know, you're before that. This is a Catholic holiday. It means Christ Mass. We understand. And then he says it's devil worship at its finest. And just to top it off, listen to this now. We have seen his star, 1963. Oh my, this one's after the seals. I want to follow the morning star Christ. I want to follow and find my Jesus this day. I want to get away from all this Christmas tinsel and things. Because someday it's going to be burnt with unquenchable fire. And all those who are intolerating with it will be burnt with it. Now, I'm going to balance this out. I don't like people magnifying believers, you know. That's all they got. They can't see anything out here. They're blinder than a bat, but you get a pair of magnifying glasses, they can see one quote. There you go. Run with that, right? Magnifying believers. But anyways, he did say this. He says, those that intolerate this way of so-called worshiping God in the term of Christmas, the way that the world is doing it, the way that the heathen is, it will be burnt up. It will be done away. Why? Because you will find nowhere where Brother Branham said we ought to celebrate Christmas. Trying to take my time. We're just going to read it. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1961. I'm going to show you where he says this. He says, it's here to stay until Jesus comes, speaking on Christmas. All these things are here to stay. Now, I don't believe, let me make this clear. I do not believe that Jesus would care what day you worshiped his birthday on. If it's on the 25th, the 26th, whether it's in April, May, June, whatever it might be. Just so you worship him on any day.
Amen.
But here's what it is. They have taken the sacredness from Christmas to make it not a Christmas, but a worship day, but a celebration. We do not. You hear people say, we're going to celebrate Christmas. That's wrong. We should never celebrate Christmas. There you go. Case closed as far as that goes. We should never celebrate this like we would something else in life. Can I read the rest of the quote, though?
Yeah.
See, I wonder what he really means here. Here's what he means. He says, we should never celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a day of worship, not a celebration. We celebrate Lincoln's birthday. We celebrate Washington's birthday. If you was down in the deep south, we'd celebrate Lee's birthday or Jackson. And now you get shot for it because you got a Confederate flag somewhere. But their birthday is a celebration. But the birthday of Christ, I believe, should be a day of consecration, worship. Instead of tonight, now this was the 24th, so Christmas Eve. He said, and look, they had church. Can't get church that close to Christmas? You all know my revelation because 2 years ago it was on Christmas. That's right. And guess what? Doors open at 7. Oh, 6, really. That's right. Hallelujah. Just to let you know, I don't cancel for Christmas. If anything, that's here's right here. Right here's why. It's a day, if anything, it's a day of worship. And you're going to tell me we're going to worship and cancel church and pretend like we're going to worship at our families where they don't even pray for the food unless you make them and they're just going to watch football and all they're talking about is all the good goodies they got. You calling that worship? It ain't worship. It ain't worship. Instead of tonight, people at church on their knees praying, thanking God for the real Christmas gift, high heel shoes and painted faces. Frock-tailed coats and goblets of whiskey will be tipped one to another, and tens of thousands times thousands of dollars worth of whiskeys and cigars and cigarettes will be distributed tonight when thousands of poor little hungry children lay without a bite to eat or a place to lay their head. Worship what we need, celebration's what we've got. Well, that's all right. Well, it isn't all right, but we can't stop it. Listen now, it's here to stay. We're going to have Christmas right on just the same. And the word Christmas, I already read this part. I said it earlier. It's a Catholic tradition. I'm going to try to save a little time. And one of my daughters, I can't call her little no more, Becky, had to write a story the other day on mythology or mystic. I said, just write about Santa Claus. That's it. Santa Claus has took the place of Christ. And Santa Claus, there never was such a person. It's a fabrication of a man that might have been. But there definitely wasn't no Kris Kringle like that. And Santa Claus, there's never such a person. See, it's absolutely a Catholic tradition. Not anything to do with Protestants or anything about it. Or Christmas or the birth of Christ, not at all. But Santa's here to stay. But someday Jesus will come. That's the one we're looking for. Amen. So what are we trying to get at now? He said, look, Christmas is going to be here. This season of time is here to stay. It isn't going anywhere. But what we need to do is recognize we have to be Christians no matter what time of year it is. We never let the things of the world, the traditions of this life, the way of the heathen influence to where we aren't being Christians anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this will come right home because too many times we elevate family things above Christ. We elevate our feelings above Christ. We feel it, well, I think above Christ because the Bible's an absolute. Amen. And we know what the prophet said. He said, if the church doors are open, if you got any love of God in your heart, you'll want to be there.
Amen.
Won't be somebody dragging you on in. Come on. You'll be right there at the door ready to get in and worship God.
Amen.
And Christmas should be no exception. That's what proves that there's a wrong seat in it when people make exceptions for it.
Yeah, sure.
Hallelujah. Not stand behind any holiday that way. Why would we ever, if church is on that day, why would we ever cancel for something that we know isn't a Christian tradition? We have Christian traditions. You understand that? We do. Baptism.
Uh-huh.
Communion. Foot washing. And actually, if you want to be real strict, church. That's right. Something given by the Lord. Something we do every Wednesday and every Sunday. Sounds pretty traditional to me.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And Jesus went to church, as the Bible said his custom was. He didn't just get one real spiritual one week, decided he was going to go. That's what he did all the time. Amen. So what am I trying to say is, look, but I want to make sure we put a little bit of brakes. I don't say we just throw it all out. If there's good to glean from it, we ought to do that. That's right. Look, this is a time where we get to rest. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God for time off work. Amen. We run around this rat race long enough. Praise God. Just about anywhere won't force you to work Christmas. I mean, people have such a respect for Christmas. Wasn't it World War II or something? Or World War I or whatever? They decided, they waved the flag, said, hey, for today, let's stop shooting each other and let's just have dinner.
Yeah.
Do you see how much of a worship? Look how it had power to stop war. Don't tell me this ain't a worship. People are worshiping that day. Where if they would have worshiped Christ instead of a Christmas idea, there wouldn't have been no war.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Just like Jesus said here, you know, people get so mad about Christmas. I said, if you hate Christmas, you're going to hate this sermon too. Well, bless God, we don't give no presents on Christmas. And if my family does it, I don't show up.
Amen.
And I ain't going to be around. I don't like them people anyways. Well, you're kind of skipping over something Jesus said here. Acts 20:35 says this, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But see, that's the problem. The way of the heathen, Christmas is not about giving. It's about receiving. And you're not blessed. Because it looks like what the Bible says is, the horse leech says, more, give me more, give me more, give me more. And you give them that man, you know, you see a man out in the world, they just struggle. Swipe up every credit card they got. And you know what happens? Kids ain't quite satisfied. I mean, that was nice, but man, Johnny down the road, he really got something. And it does, it breaks your heart, don't it? Why? Because it's all based on receiving, not on the act of giving. Because Christ can't bless that. He would go against his own word. Look, that's why even when the apostles came, remember, people gave to the church, and the apostles took it and they distributed it to the needs. That's a lot different than communism, where the government says, give me the money, and I'll give it to whoever I want, but I'm sure a check would go in my pocket right here. You ever heard that? People say, well, Jesus was a socialist. Apostles were socialists. See, they took it all. But look, that totally contradicts what happened later on, because Ananias and Sapphira showed up. And Peter said, look, when you had the money, why are you lying? When you had the money, wasn't it your power to do with it as you pleased?
Right.
We ain't forcing you. Why? Because Christianity isn't based on receiving. It's based on giving. God, give us a revelation tonight that even church isn't based on you receiving necessarily from the Lord. It's about giving your heart back to Him.
Amen.
And showing worship so He can bless you for giving the pearl of great price. You're giving back to Him as you worship the one thing He wants, which is your heart. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, before I go too far that way, say, well, Brother Andrew, what's really the revelation? The real revelation of anything, and this is why Christmas gets lumped in with everything, is we should live this by what I'm about to tell you with everything in our lives. Keep Christ the center of anything. Or don't do it. That's right. If it takes the place of Christ, it's got to go. It doesn't matter what it is. That's right. And if somebody else don't have the revelation you do, you're supposed to be the Christian. Not make them be the Christian for your lack of being a Christian. All right. Let's turn there now. Romans 12. I got a few I want to read tonight. Hallelujah. And I don't mean this to brag, but I honestly feel this way now, that I would so much rather buy something for somebody else than for myself. Because you do it for yourself, you're like, well, that was nice, but it's just like that. You're in the thing of the world. Well, I mean, it's a nice truck, but that guy's got a nice one. It's a nice house, but come on. When you do it for somebody else, man, I'll tell you what, my wife even gets on me sometimes. I like have total blinders all of a sudden. It's like, well, how come you're so, you know, neck or so on the money about everything we spend? All of a sudden, you just drop this on somebody else. Well, I just love to give. I'm not trying to brag. It's just what Christ has done to me. And He's done it to all of us, really. You know it's true. And look, don't just worry about giving money. How about give you time once in a while?
That's right.
Like, for real, like sacrifice time. Oh, we'll get together when I'm free, brother. Oh, yeah. See you next 10 years sometime. I've never seen that come through, actually, never. We'll get together sometime. It never works out. You have to say, you know what? I'm going to pick a day, and I'm going to sacrifice my time to spend with you. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's read a few of these. And that was a little side tidbit there. But Romans 12, and just verse 8 here. I don't think I'm in the right spot. 12:18. There we go. 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Yes.
So, if, you know, I hate Christmas and everything. You know, Sister Robinson's got something red on. Looks kind of like Christmas. That's right. And I just have to hate her because she's got something that looks like Christmas and I hate Christmas. That ain't what the Bible said, is it? It says, with all that's in you, live peaceably.
Amen.
Which means, Lord, even if I'm offended, well, then I need to take care of that with the Lord and kind of get over that.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. If we need to have a discussion, sure, let's do it. But hey, when it's all done, you need to make sure you got some word to back this up.
Right.
And I ain't never seen no don't wear red in the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there ain't no, I just got to read it. You know, the Bible really does have all the answers. Do you know that yet?
Right.
It really is. It's all in there. It's just great. If you just read it and believe it, you'll stay on the right track. You really will. Turn over to 14, Romans 14, and verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not... not to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And I could stop there, right there. That's the revelation that we're trying to get at tonight. It's, Lord, I need to have my relationship with you. And recognize that you don't deal with every single person the exact same way all the exact same time. That's right, we're different. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different worlds. I don't care if you live down the road. You lived in a different world than I did growing up. That's right. And I don't know where you're coming from. And if you, but here's what it, look what it said both times. They gave it as to the Lord.
Right.
Hallelujah. Some people worship Christmas, or sorry, they pretend to use Christmas for the Lord, but they're not. They're doing it for themselves.
Yep.
Or for some celebration. Some people hate Christmas, not for the Lord, but for themselves. So they go around and point at everybody that does it and say, man, look at all these backslids. I'm the only spiritual one around here. Look at all these pastors just letting them do whatever they want and have parties and everything else and get together. And look at all that. Look at, I'm the only one still staying with the Word.
Amen.
That's not unto the Lord. That's for yourself. Because really, you need to pray for one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Live for the other man.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. And getting into all these little details of things that Brother Bram didn't talk about, the Bible don't talk about. The Bible already told us. He said, avoid foolish and profane questioning.
Yes.
Well, can we have a Christmas tree or not? Well, you're going to really fight back and forth. You will. And I'll explain the difference here in a minute. I'm going to let you know, though, a lot says no. But I'm going to show you the one thing that Brother Brandon brings out, which I think ought to be brought out when it comes to Christmas, is it's not you and me. It's the little guys. And this is where we've got to learn how the kingdom of heaven works. He says, if you don't act like a little child, you'll never do the right thing. If you never can take time to think like a child does, you'll never understand how to have real wisdom with this stuff. And you'll go and you'll be such a legalist, you'll scar your children. They'll think, they'll hate this time of year because they remember every year everyone else seemed to get nice stuff and they went around getting called Jews and everything else.
Amen.
That's true. Look, or whatever they want to call you. They don't even, and that's the other side I want to get to. You can't get so legalist that you don't even say Merry Christmas to someone and then they don't even think you're a Christian. Because for as far as they're concerned, that's all they know of Christianity. They don't know. I mean, just the fact that you say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays is almost a testimony anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's what I'm saying, not be so legalistic that you don't have any wisdom.
Right.
And you know what, brother, sister? If you know that brother hates Christmas, you ought to just steer clear of don't invite him over till the tree's down. And you know what? He shouldn't be bothering everybody that's got it if he don't like it. If you don't like it, stay away. That's why, because the Bible, if you turn to Hebrews, or sorry, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8, he gives us the answer that I'm hitting at here. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Pray you're getting revelation tonight. It ain't just about Christmas. It's about anything, really. Anything that can become an idol or paganism and acting like the world. Excuse me. Verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren, we talk about sin and, oh, I got a tree, I guess I'm sinning. This guy doesn't have a tree, he's sinning. This, the Bible says, is sin. To purposely put a stumbling block in front of a brother.
Right. Yep.
Hallelujah! See, that's why that's the whole paradigm shift that I don't think has even been in the message hardly too much, is that, look, if I like Christmas, I need to learn to respect my brothers who don't.
Amen.
Not go bash on them and tell them how they're wrong and how they need to respect me because I'm still a Christian. Or vice versa. If I hate Christmas, I got to go bash on everyone. Or I need to respect that they might not have the same revelation I do. Trusting that they're still worshiping the Lord. Trusting that they're doing it to be a witness and all those things and to spend time with family and do good, wholesome things and to give and not receive. Hallelujah. To not, but to purposely stumble a brother over this is sin. It's the wicked. He said, look, you'll make your brother perish for it. And too many of us do that with the liberty we have in Christ.
Amen.
Well, I don't feel nothing wrong with this brother. But you know that brother don't understand. Why are you offending his conscience knowingly? Look, I don't know how to make it no simpler. You can either read the Bible and believe it or go try and interpret it. I just believe what it says. If I know what I'm doing stumbles a brother up, I need to stop. Not even because I think it's wrong necessarily, but because I love him more than myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we all know Brother Branham had a Christmas tree. He didn't always have a Christmas tree, as some people like to present. But when he had children, and they weren't 15, 18, and 25. All right, when he had little children, he got them a tree. Yes, he did. Brother Branham knew little children don't quite understand what it's all about. They don't understand what pagan means. They don't know, but they do know what it means to have Christ in something.
Sure. Amen.
They do. Don't tell me a child can't pick up on the Spirit of God. They can. And that's a responsibility as a parent to steward children to know what the presence of God is, to know what the Word of God is. That's right. But as far as the gift giving and things and having trees and, oh, that's pretty and things, they're children. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people get mad. The child gets excited. They're going to get a gift.
Right.
You are. Yeah. You are still. But I do agree. You should teach them the truth. Right. You should get past that and say, look, it's nice, but this isn't the absolute. Jesus is.
Amen.
This doesn't satisfy. Jesus does.
Amen.
And I'm going to read you a little lengthy one here, and I might not go too much longer because I didn't want to really preach this to myself anyways, but I felt it was time. It's been 3 years, and I never really touched on it. But I hope you can apply it more than just this little two-week period here.
Sure,
and realize
yeah.
that our whole lives.
Exactly.
There's always seasons and times that the way of the world, the way of the heathen, is trying to get into us to act like them. I already know one way. I see it on Facebook. People used to need discernment. You don't need to see it anymore. They go ahead and put it on their profile picture. We've got a Star Wars movie coming out. And everybody's got their lightsabers on their pictures. Go look it up. I was like, what in the world? You know, back in the day, some of y'all can remember, you might have went and watched Star Wars, but you sure wouldn't have sent no pictures to nobody. You wouldn't have told him you were going. You wouldn't have talked to no one. You'd have drove there in somebody else's car with the hood on. Would have watched it real quick and went home and just say, you know, maybe later on felt convicted, say, Lord, forgive me. But what's happened? There's no shame. We'll just do it like the world. Dude, there's a cool new movie. We got to go to the theaters and see it.
Sure.
Don't learn the way of the heathen. I'm sorry. There ain't no, I don't care how legalist or how loose you are in Christ. There's no way you should be at a movie theater. Go ahead. Didn't quite get everyone, but that's all right. No, there's just too much devils there, man.
That's right.
And there ain't nothing going on in that building that is drawing anyone closer to God. There's no goal there to draw anyone closer to God. And for you to just suck it down. You say, well, maybe I can watch, or well, what's the difference between watching a theater and watching your own house? Oh, okay, what's the difference between watching a football at a bar and watching it in your house? There kind of is a difference. And you didn't spend $20 for one day and $40 on popcorn and a drink. That's about what it costs anymore. I wouldn't know, but I hear it from students and things. Got to get there. Got to get to my tickets. Oh, man, we got to go. Got to go on the day it's out. How about you got to get to church the day the doors open? Huh? Where's that? You see, we lost the love for Christ. It's the way of the heathen, and it'll perish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we're getting at tonight. Now, let me bring out about the children here as I close this thought here. Christianity versus idolatry, 1961. Now, next Sunday's Christmas Eve, and I thought that it had a Christmas message for the church. I had such a feeling for them little fellas. I must say, if I had been there, then the little fellas would probably, many of them far away, would miss their Christmas and things. So it'd be kind of hard on those little fellas. And adults now, we're talking to little fellas. He says, I know that we people here do not teach our children of such a myth as Santa Claus. We do not believe in telling anybody a lie, so you're not going to lie to your children. Such stuff as that's mythology to its heights. A of such a thing has taken the place of Christ at Christmas, and Christmas has lost. Christmas is no more a worship, it's a celebration. Drinking, gambling, carousing, just pagan to the limit. And I want, maybe after Christmas, I'll speak again on Christmas, you see, so it won't deprive the little. See, he was always cautious of that, of getting so legalistic that the little kids don't even get their little gifts. He was. He cared about that. But you can't, he says, so it won't deprive the little, but you can't tell that to a little children like that. They see little fellows on Christmas night getting Christmas presents and things like that. They don't understand it. They're too little. And we've got to remember them, that they have things in common. We've got to bring ourselves down to remember them little fellows. That they themselves, now, the little fellow has to understand. You know, the little fellows, and we have to remember we were little fellows once too. I remember when we was little kids, they'd get out and cut down an old cedar bush somewhere, and Mom would pop some corn and string it around like that. That's about all there was on the tree, but them little old ragged socks hung up just like that. And maybe she'd get maybe one little sack of candy and just them little hard candies and put two or three to me and two or three to Humpy and two or three to this, just little pieces of candy. And we'd keep that all day long, sucking all that, you know, and wrap it up in a little piece of paper and put it in our pocket. And we get an old cat pistol, a little horn, and blow it. It was a great thing. It thrilled us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Today, of course, it's different. Poor people has got a hold of a little bit of money, and it's got so that they can buy their children more things. They dress better, they eat better, they live better. And all the way around, I guess they're better off under the wage conditions of today. And therefore, little kids, you have to let them have something. But always be sure of this. Tell them there is no such thing as Santa Claus, because it's not right.
Amen.
One of these days, they'll walk up and say, what about Jesus then? See, see, see. So then tell them the truth. Be honest with everybody. See, truth. And especially, you wouldn't tell your children something wrong, because they'd raise up and say, they believe you as a Christian, and they want to. They believe that what you tell them is the truth. So be sure you tell them the truth. Then it'll come out all right.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's what we get at. I believe we ought to give little kids gifts. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving each other things during Christmas. And of course, I'm saying that because I'm the pastor and I want everybody to give me a gift coming up here in a week or two. No, that's not what I'm getting at. Is if God puts something on your heart, just because it's Christmas time doesn't mean you got to be so legalistic you can't give it to them. But see, that's why we've got to have an honest heart about this. Too many times we give so we can feel good. If that's your motivation, you've missed something. You've got to learn to care about the other one. Why do I buy my kids things? It's not, I don't, especially trying to spoil them, I'll tell you that right now. But I want them to be happy. I do. I want them to have nice things if I can get it for them. I want them to have something they like to play with. Come on now. I want them to come to Sunday school because we are. I'm going to read that one real quick. I was trying to close. I'll close on this here soon. Brother Bram says this, the reproach for the cross of the word, 1962. He says, we are indeed a privileged people to be alive this morning and to be able to come to church on this eve of Christmas. Okay, there you go. We ain't canceling for Christmas. Praise the Lord. Waiting for the celebration that they have. Which I hope there's too many kids here this morning, so I'll just keep still, see? And we adults, sometimes we speak of things that kids shouldn't even hear, you know? He says, but I think the church has got a little present here for the little kiddies after a while. I was just looking it over back there, and you want to stay after Sunday school, just hold on, see? Because I think they got some presents back there for the little fellas to give out this morning in the church. All right. You little fellows, remember, while we're doing this, I want to make this clear. It's not Santa Claus. Because that's a story that someday you'll learn it's nothing to it. But it's from Jesus Christ, the truth of all truths, you see, the Son of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. We should, anything comes from God. Amen. See, that's the real thing. Your tithes should go directly to God, but really it's all God's. Everything that God gives us is God's. That's right. We didn't earn it. We didn't make it. He brought it. Amen. And we all give it back to Him. We should. So when we give gifts, as the Bible says, if we love one another, He said the littlest of these, if you do good to them, you're doing it as unto me.
Amen.
And that's the real revelation. And we ought to teach our children that, to where when they get the Christmas time, they ain't just only worried about what they're going to get, but they think about what they could give someone else. See, and then you put Christ in the middle of this. The reason we have anything, son, the reason we have anything, daughter, is because of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he was born the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. The angels sang a song on Christmas. All right. The shepherds were praising the Lord. That's right. A few years later, the wise men came and they were praising the Lord for it. So it was a very important event. All right. That's right. And it doesn't make sense for it to be December because the Bible says it was the sixth month, which the 6 months is like in September, October somewhere. And 9 months after that would be somewhere, you know, in the springtime, not anywhere near Christmas. Unless you're only pregnant for 3 months or something. Go look it up. It doesn't make any sense to be born in December and anywhere in the scriptures because he wasn't. He was born when lambs were born. And that was God's gift to us. Hallelujah. That the Son of God would come, not with just presents, not just with new toys and new cars, and all, but with eternal life. Back in the souls of men, that he had put all the fullness of the Godhead bodily into that one baby. Hallelujah. I know the River Jordan, you understand, but that was the Messiah. That took the sin of the world upon himself. That was God's gift to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And yes, without a Christmas, there never would have been an Easter. Hallelujah. I don't think there's anything wrong with respecting God for sending us the Savior of the world and for remembering the day. But bless God, don't ever celebrate it. Worship.
Amen.
Worship Him on that day. Worship Him on every day. Look, you're going to stick out. If you go to your family functions, you stick out. You go to Walmart, you're going to stick out. Let me tell you how. Not because you don't say Merry Christmas and things like that, but because I ain't going to tell that four-year-old that there's anything such as Santa Claus. I don't mind him hating the man. I don't mind him being afraid of it. I don't want him to have nothing to do with Santa Claus. I want him to tell his friends there ain't no such thing as Santa Claus. And you know what? You make a lot of people mad with that. Oh, you will. But look, that's the truth. It's not supposed to have anything to do with Santa Claus. It's supposed to be about the birth of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's why my wife kind of gets on me sometimes. She'll want to find some wrapping paper that she really likes. Well, I'll find a Santa on there. And I said, I don't want this trash. I'm sorry. I know it's kind of in the corner. You can't really see it. But I don't want it. You can have a reindeer or snowman or something. Okay, fine. But don't give me none of that Santa Claus. There are reindeer. That's a real animal. And I can take snow and make a snowman. But you ain't going to find no Santa fat guy driving around the sleigh all night long because he's too fat to be doing that anyways. Because we all know what happens to people that actually get up and move. They don't get that big. Hallelujah. Y'all got to get used to me. That's right. I pray you have revelation tonight.
Amen.
That we ain't supposed to be pagans. We're not supposed to be like the world. We definitely ought not to be idolaters.
Amen.
Worshiping something other than God. And there's no excuse, Christian. There's no excuse. God has given us the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God has given us, Christians, the ability to live the Word.
Amen.
And He's also, that's why He gave you the Spirit, to give you wisdom.
Yes.
To know that giving those little guys presents, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Being nice to people is not bad. You understand? Having a little gift exchange with some coworkers is really not the end of the world. That's right. But to go to the same frolic and nonsense that they do and skip church for that stuff, come on. Skip your devotions that day. Come on. You know we're guilty. Don't lie to me. Well, God understands. He understands you're lazy. He understands you got excuses, but look, we're at the day that needs to be done. I pray we all get a revelation of that. That, Lord, you're tired of hearing me say, but. How about just amen, amen, amen. I'm sorry, amen. Forgive me, amen. Help me, Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Still love me?
Amen.
I love you. Praise the Lord. I pray that clears that up. Probably just bring it to this tape if you ever want to ask me again specifically on Christmas. But like I said, my goal wasn't just to talk about that, but to bring the idea that this is all. It's just the pressure of the age to try to make us live in this world. But God has given us a voice to come up. Come out of it. You want to just surrender to the Lord tonight? Can we sing that? I surrender all. Just see today, Dad. It's right to the chorus. Go ahead.
Restoration that nothing but you could do. We're showing, Lord, that you're the only true living God. And they go down to his soul and bring this man closer to you and to the reality of the truth. May this healing, Lord, be the bait. In Jesus Christ's name, I agree with my brother's faith. May this man be healed. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
I'll tell of his love.
Your loving arms around him once again. And Lord, open the scales, Lord, as you did the Apostle Paul and the men of God. Lord, David prayed to you and said, Lord, forgive me my presumptuous sins and everything, Lord. May I be able to come with a clear conscience, Lord. May the power of the Spirit destroy everything that the devil's put in my brother's mind and tried to get to his soul. I believe he's sealed away, Lord. The devil can't do that. Lord, may the word now take the preeminence. May Satan never be able to get a stronghold on my brother, but what the word would come and drive away. He's took away the idols. He's been like with the kings of Judah who tore it down, Lord, and said, we can build to the Lord. May you come with the Shekinah glory, Lord, and give him perfect revelation. I believe it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I ask you. Amen.
Don't you. Appreciate His Spirit tonight. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Breaking our shackles, Lord. Hallelujah.
Flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Yes, Lord.
As I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name, Lord,
oh, hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Worth it all when we see Jesus alive.